¿Cómo lo sé?
Morning Chair, I guess we can start the meeting.
Good morning, honorable members. Nala, is my line good today?
Yes, Chair, it sounds very good.
Okay, thank you. Honorable members, Minister, Deputy Minister, Acting DG, the team from the Parliament, the officials from the department is led by the acting DG, media, communications, people, and everyone who is watching our committee meeting today. Good morning. We meeting today after the president has at least eased the restrictions, and also we are on level one, but definitely the coronavirus is still there, and there's also that fear that we may have, what is it, we're in what phase two, we may have another third wave. So we need to always keep safe, stay indoors, wear masks where we are expected to do, especially when we are out there. Today we're going to deal with an issue that touches many of our hearts and something that has an I think one time the president said we have a COVID pandemic and the second pandemic, which is then gender-based violence and femicide. The minister then went on to say that they are going to release some properties to Department of Social Development to be utilized as safe houses or as places where the victims can be kept in those houses. So today we're going to deal with that and to see how is that program going on. And I think it is in the best interest of everyone in South Africa who is against gender-based violence and femicide. Ms. Martinez, any apologies that we have today?
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to yourself, honorable members, Minister DM, and our colleagues at large. We have apologies from the honorable Shabalala. She's not feeling well. The other apologies from the honorable Van Staden. He's attending another portfolio committee meeting. And the other apology is that of the minister. She would like to leave the meeting early because of another cabinet meeting that she needs to attend to. But the DM will be here to carry on her behalf. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Nala, for those apologies. But after the presentation by the minister and her team, honorable members, we will have to relook our program, especially in terms of the public hearings. As we all know, on the 28th of February was the last day for the written submissions, and I understand that there are many submissions that have come in. So, Ms. Martinez, after this presentation, I don't know how we have structured the program, but after we have interacted with the department, we will then deal with our plan for public hearings. I think we need to relook at the decision that we took, because at the time, we're in level three, and gatherings were not allowed. Now, gatherings are allowed, and we are expected to have 100 inside and 250 outside. I think we need to look at that as members of this portfolio committee. How can we then ensure that the public hearings, physical ones, do okay, especially now that we're in level one? But we'll deal with that after the presentation by the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. Can you flag the agenda, Ms. Martinez?
Right away, Chair. I hope it's visible on the screen, Chairperson.
Not yet.
Is it not visible to everyone?
No, not at all. Still no.
It's just showing your agenda, Nola. It's your screen.
And
the agenda has
all the documents.
Okay, let me stop sharing and redo it again. Is that okay now?
Yeah, it is.
Thank you, Chair.
We will then hand over to Minister.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. Chairperson, I just want to support your opening remarks about the importance of the fight against GBVF. I did have a meeting with our department, and we have agreed yesterday that what is lacking with the implementation of our program is urgency. So we have established a special task team within the department. I will be a member of the task team. We will meet on a weekly basis because the urgency of the situation demands that we respond as government as quickly as we can. So I want to assure the Honourable Members that we will certainly pick up the pace in terms of identifying properties, and also we must engage with the municipalities and also with the provincial governments in the areas where we don't have properties that belong to GPWI. We will also be changing our reporting format to the committee to reflect the new district development model. We have been tasked to ensure that we have at least one GBVF centre for survivors in every one of the 258 municipalities, and of course, which then go out to the district, the 44 districts. And we must also ensure that we have sufficient centers within the metropolitan. So now we are scoping the rollout of GBVF centres across the country according to municipalities, and we will engage with Sangha. I do have a MINMAC meeting with all the MECs scheduled for later this month, and GBVF is a standard item on the meeting with all the MECs. But we will continue to give feedback to the committee, but we are now broadening our scope to try and cover all municipalities in our country. I will then hand over to the acting DG to make a presentation, and then we will be open for questions. Thank you very much, and also morning to DM. I didn't say that. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Minister, and good morning to everybody present this morning, Chairperson and members of the committee. Chairperson, I won't add too much to what the Minister has said. There's nothing to add from the introductory point of view, except to say that transformation is one of the 7 outcomes of the department in which gender empowerment is an important component. In this regard, we've appointed a person full-time at the chief director level to deal with gender issues and to drive the gender program in the department. So what I'd like to do, Chairperson, in terms of our response to dealing with the shelters for victims of gender-based violence, I'd like to ask our chief director, responsible for this particular function, Reverend Maleri Stimela, to run with the presentation. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you. Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, Minister. Good morning, DM. Good morning, DG. Good morning, everybody, this morning. Thank you very much for this opportunity. Well, the Department of Public Works has risen to the occasion by answering to the call to have programs that addresses gender-based violence. Today, the purpose of this meeting today is to brief Portfolio Committee on progress on the signing of the MOU with the provinces to ensure the expeditious opening of shelters for gender-based survivors. Just to give you a little background of why we are here today, the initial call came from the president during the sitting of the National Assembly and the National Council of Provinces to discuss a possible approach to combat gender-based violence on the 18th of September 2019. In this joint sitting, it is where departments and everybody was challenged to come up with a consolidated program and efforts to combat the gender-based violence. And so all departments were challenged and were mandated to come up with programs to assist the sketch. As you may know that during this sitting, it was when the Minister of Public Works and Infrastructure committed to 3 very critical areas which are aligned to the mandate of the department. This was first to avail unoccupied state-owned properties to provide shelter to victims of gender-based violence and femicide. The second one was to avail buildings to be utilized for education and awareness through outdoor advertising and signage of partnership in partnership with private sector. And lastly was to create job opportunities through EPWP non-state sector program, which is resident in the Department of Public Works, which of which was to support those NPOs that are actually working with gender-based violence and victim empowerment programs to support them with participants as well as to give support to those NGOs. But this, as you know, that this was initially part of the emergency response action plan, but when after the president signed the national strategic framework, the national strategic plan on gender-based violence, these commitments are now elevated into the national strategic plan as commitments by the department. And so the department aligned itself with these 3 pillars that we see there, pillar number 2, number 4, and number 5. Pillar number 2, of prevention and rebuilding the social cohesion by availing the state buildings to be utilized for education and awareness through advertising. We aligned that commitment with that pillar number 2. And we aligned pillar number 4 with the unveiling of unoccupied state-owned properties to provide shelter for victims, and that is why we are here today. And lastly, we also participated in pillar number 5, which is the economic empowerment. As we may know that with this now is elevated in the national strategic plan, we report to presidency on a weekly basis on progress made on these three commitments that we made as a department. The minister signs off the report every week, but we report to presidency and the Department of Women on a weekly basis. Can you move on to the next slide, please? On this commitment of availing public buildings, we can say that today, public buildings for prevention messages, the department identified about 171 state-owned buildings which were to be used for advertisement of GBV messages. We had to date unveiled one billboard, which was going to be a pilot that we did on the 5th of December 2019 with the Minister of Public Works and Social Development. This exercise just has stalled a little bit because of the slow bringing into the partnership of the private sector to participate in this one. So we are currently working on a clear strategy because we had to go through supply chain processes, understanding and not to, as well as ensuring that we don't contravene the PFMA when we invite private sector to participate in this program. So there is currently a strategy that we are working on that will be finalized by the 31st of March, which is going to ensure that this pillar is actually pushed in a quicker rate. We have also managed to unveil one perimeter wall, a mural and one perimeter wall of Moneyberg Police Station in Cape Town on the 6th of August as a drive. But now seeing that there is a need to do more on this, we have also by the end of 31st of March, we have committed and already started working on other police stations to the same artwork that was done in the Moneyberg Police Station while we are still waiting for the involvement of the private sector. So this one will be done internally by the department through gender unit. The next slide, please. Currently, this slide is a sample of the billboards that we would like to see around that we are working on putting them up with the messages that will be easily read and easily translated to and made awareness to the public. We will be engaging with GCIS to ensure that we get the relevant messages, the right messages, to assist us with getting the right messages, as well as the Department of Women, so that we can refine our message to actually hit home and get better. But we are working on that one. Can I have the next slide, please? Now, the main topic that we are here on about the unveiling, availing of shelters to Department of Social Development. Initially, when the project started, there were 84 state-owned properties that were identified. And these properties were mostly the residential properties that were standing vacant or have been underutilized under the asset register of the Department of Public Works. And when we started the exercise, when we reviewed we inspected the 84, the 83 buildings, we ended up with about 57 because some of them were not in good state. Some of the properties were not in good state. And because we also did this inspection in partnership with DSD, where they were able to ascertain the suitability of the properties and they guided the department of which properties would be more relevant for their use. And then we only ended up with about 22 that were confirmed by DSD to date. There are some provinces that have not yet been covered. I can just give a breakdown of the 22 properties that have been confirmed. It is one in the Western Cape, six properties were confirmed. They were renovated, reconfigured, and repaired according to the specifications of the Department of Social Development. And this memorandum of understanding was duly signed by both Department of Public Works and the Eastern Cape Provincial Public Works on the 7th of October 2020. just in December now, when they are now working on towards occupying the place and operationalizing the place, the Department of Social Development came up with a snag list where they see there are a few problems in the building. So they made a snag list which was attended to in December, and they're still working on it, and we're still working on it. By the 22 of February, I think most of the stuff were done, except for there were a few things that have come in that they noticed after the scope of work had already been issued. So this will be attended to while they are occupying, because they are just minor things like maybe repairing a handle on the door, a handle in the window. So they are working on it, but the MOA have been signed, and they have already started operationalizing the centers there. There are about six of them in the Western Cape. And then in Gauteng, there are also six properties that were allocated in Gauteng, one being the one at Selvakop, which is now is into operational. It has a GBG command center. It was launched last year, November. They have started operating there. And then there is five other properties that are still need to be operationalized. The MOA have been signed. They have been renovated as well. Except that obviously when they started wanting to come in, there were just a few things that they noticed that needed to be done. There's also a snag list that have come through that we are working on as Department of Public Works. So these ones, the MOAs are in place, they have been signed. It's just a matter of now the Department of Social Development operationalizing the shelters. Can you move to the next slide, please? With the next slide, this is the site inspections that have been completed last year. We have done Free State, which in August. There were nine properties that were visited, but only two of those properties were selected as suitable for the needs of DSD. In KwaZulu-Natal, we visited eight properties together with DSD, and two of those were selected as suitable, as some of needed huge renovations, which was going to cost a lot of money, which we are going to consider in the next phase once our funding has been confirmed. Also, Northern Cape has been done. There's only one property that has been selected by DSD. There are only two in the area. And Northern Cape has been a problem because DSD wanted more properties around Western Cape, whereby we do not have much as the Department of Public Works. But what we've done is that we've engaged with the provincial department, Department of Public Works in the Northern Cape, to also provide a list of properties that they could possibly donate or possibly avail to DSD. So we are in the process. We are in the currently we are in that process now. Mpumalanga, they were nine properties, and all the nine properties were acceptable. They accepted them. With all the site inspections, we have done reports that and have been submitted to facilities management for costing and to do the visibility studies. Already, I think we have about 22 visibility studies that are ready, that have actually been done, completed. So we are waiting, hoping that in the next financial year, we should be starting with the renovations so that we can be able to hand over to the Department of Social Development. And on that note, because of the challenges that we experienced of most of the buildings not being suitable, We are engaging as well with the different provinces, as I've already mentioned. And also the minister and the DM, sometime we met with the MECs for all the MECs through the MINMEC. And this proposal has been made to them to also assist to provide those or to avail those buildings so that we can be able to cover all the municipalities and the district municipalities and through the district model approach, like the minister have already stated. So we are having those further discussions. Hence, the minister has already explained that we will also be meeting on a weekly basis. We have been meeting actually on a weekly basis all together also with DSD to actually try to unblock all these challenges that have been identified. Can I have the next slide, please? Before the end of this financial year, because there are some provinces like Northwest, Eastern Cape and Limpopo that have not yet been attended to, we have already have dates that have been submitted to go and do the final inspections. One of the challenges that we're having to about confirming the dates was the fact that when we are a big team, because it was the Department of Public Works and the Department of Social Development as well as the Provincial Department of Social Development, so we find that we're having a challenge of coming up with a common date that we can be able to do this inspection. But we have decided that we are going to use a new approach where only because the challenge have always been the national offices not being available. So now we're just going to be dealing directly with the provinces, and we're hoping that will speed up the inspections, but that will be done before end of this financial year. Can then have the next one, please? In summary and conclusion on this particular pillar, which is of interest today, we have noticed we have actually learned a lot in the previous phase. We have seen where the blockages were. There have been, in these meetings that we've been having, there have been discussions also to consider or look at how do we the approach that we take on this program. Do we continue doing the donation or the lease agreement approach? So these are the issues that we are engaging in together with the provinces so that we come up with a clear strategy for that will speed up the process. Because we realize that one of the challenges of signing the MOAs was the fact that after the renovations by the Department of Public Works, when the DSD have to sign the lease agreements, they had to we had to recover the funds that were used for renovations and all that. So these were some of the issues that kind of made it for us going up and down trying to come up with an agreement. So now with also the issues raised about issues of the DORA and the GIAMA and how we interpret it, or how do we renovate, how do we spend money on buildings that are, or on properties that are going to be used for a mandate of a province. These are the issues that were raised, and how do we actually ensure that this does not come up as an audit query. So these are the engagements that you are going to be able to clarify the kind of approach that you are going to take that is going to ensure that we don't, in the long run, end up having those audit queries. And lastly, it was important that we align ourselves with the economic empowerment pillar in the strategic plan, in the national strategic plan of gender-based violence, because it is imperative that even we cannot just say we will provide shelters, but we have to come up with an intervention to make sure that we prevent women to get into situations or to be vulnerable to gender-based violence. Hence, the economic empowerment was very important. And so what we have committed on is to ensure that we will be facilitating economic opportunities for women entrepreneurs, including women leaving shelters, by actually ensuring that that 40% procurement spend awarded would be awarded to women, as the president had had made that announcement. As at the end of 31st December, we'll only be able to have another report by end of this financial year, the quarterly report. Through supply chain means, through awarding of procurement of tenders, we have awarded 21% to designated groups or to women, sorry, specifically. And this 21% is 26 contracts were awarded to contractor women majority owned companies to the value of 299,170,000,000 as of the 31st of December. We've only managed to get 21%. This we have engaged with supply chain management. We have engaged with all the branches and all the to ensure that their procurement plans are reviewed to ensure that they are targets for women, youth, and people with disabilities. So we are hoping that with this drive, we'll be able to, with the next reporting at the end of March, we would have made a little bit of improvement from there. But the main commitment is that in the next financial year, we will definitely want to reach that 40% and even beyond. The mitigation here is obviously because the ministers and the country's commitment on the infrastructure development drive, and also we will be leveraging on the implementation of the gazetted strategic integrated project, and therefore it means we need to mobilize women. We need to make sure that women are on board and women are benefiting from this infrastructure drive, and that will, in a way, that we will be contributing towards economic empowerment in this country. I thank you.
Yes, Chairperson, I think we have done with the presentation. There's nothing further to add. So I am back. If the Minister wants to add anything, Deputy Minister.
Yes, please, Chairperson, through you.
Yes, may continue, Minister.
Yes, Chairperson, also some good news is that we have received, or we are going to receive, 15 million rand from the criminal assets recovery account. It's a national revenue fund into which monies and property are deposited following a judicial forfeiture or confiscation order. And that contribution will go towards the renovation of the centers. We are also going to engage a chairperson with the newly established private sector solidarity fund to see, you know, what funding we can raise from them and how we can work together. That fund was launched about 3 weeks ago by the president. So we will be engaging with them shortly. But then just I want to share some lessons learned out of the phase one process, Chairperson and honourable members, and especially to drive the fight against GBVF more urgently. Before we announce any centres that we are going to transfer or lease to the provinces or municipalities, the lesson that we've learned in the case of the Western Cape especially, it took us months just to get a memorandum of agreement signed. It took us more months to get the paperwork done for the lease of the properties to the provincial government. Now, in the process, we have started to renovate the buildings, to make them ready for handover, but the handover finally only took place on the 24th and 25th of February this year. So the lessons learned there now is to refine the process to make sure that before we even start the renovations as DPWI, that we have got all of those arrangements in place. In terms of the economic empowerment, Chairperson and Honourable Members, We also have to look at the Supreme Court of Appeals judgment when it comes to the 2017 preferential procurement regulations that they declared unconstitutional, where, you know, you were allowed to set aside 30% of a value of a tender to designated groups that include women, youth, and people with disabilities. So that is another area where another lesson has been learned and that we are working on it. To speed up the inspection of these properties, we now are going to instruct all our regional offices, 11 of them in the country, that the regional offices must go and inspect the buildings that has been identified by National for the purposes of GBVF centers. And then they must then give us a report about the state of the buildings, because the current process is a joint inspection by National Social Development, provincial, national DPWI, and it's quite a lot of people and it takes a lot of time to coordinate diaries. So we will speed up the identification of buildings in the cities, in the rural towns, all over the country. So I do hope that the second phase of our rollout will go much quicker. I've also instructed the department to reprioritize our budget, because the excuse of government not having money without even trying to reprioritize within your own budget, we can't also accept that. So for the new financial year starting on the 1st of April, we will reprioritize a GBVF as a, like the president calls it, a second pandemic. So hopefully in the future, Chairperson, we will be able to give you more more good news, and, you know, to make sure that we attend to these things quicker. It's very painful that you almost hear on a daily basis about how our women and children are being abused in our country. And certainly, as much as we need to work together, government, civil society, and communities, government must take the lead in the fight against GBVF. Those are the only additional points that I want to make, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Minister. I now invite honorable members to engage the report. Honorable Graham Murray, Honorable Hicklin, Honorable Matebula, in that order. Honorable Mashele is struggling with network. Honorable Graham Murray, Honorable Hicklin, Honorable Matebula, Honorable Siwisa, Honorable Van Skalvig, in that order, please. Honorable Graham Murray, over to you.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Minister. Good morning, DM. And to everybody from DPWI, thank you very much for the presentation. I think what we're doing as a department is admirable, and I'm thrilled that we're part of this fight against gender-based violence. I also want to echo the sentiment that these things take far too long to implement, and there needs to be some way of speeding this up. You know, the need for shelters and places for women to go where they can be safe and protected is immense. So I honestly do believe we need to speed it up. One of the things I wanted to ask, though, which is slightly off the topic, but I think still relevant, is Reverend Stamela has been the chief director, as far as I can tell, of the gender unit within the department for some time now. I know emanating as far back as 2017, we've had a gender unit in place where they've spoken about things like gender champions and obviously about pushing the gender parity within our entities and within the department. What I wanted to know is, in line with this, so it doesn't help that we are developing externally mechanisms to support women who are victims of GBV. So in line with what we're doing on an external basis with our clients, what is being done within the department to address potential gender issues, GBV, victimization, etc., by the gender unit, in conjunction with the work that's being done on the sort of external methods for dealing with it. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Honourable Graham. Honourable Higlin.
Thank you so much, Chair. Thank you for the presentation. It seems like Honourable Graham Murray and I are kind of on a parity with this, because my next question related very much to what Samantha said in terms of internal capacitation. What is being done within the department to deal with bullying, for example, and harassment of female employees within various entities within the DPWI, because we definitely do have a problem. But to get to the actual presentation, Minister, I agree with you 100%. We seem to have a serious lack of urgency, and it's a great concern to me, because if X, Y, and Z is only going to be done between now and the 31st of March, how many lives are going to be lost? How many women, children, and LGBTQI members of society are going to find themselves victims of violence between now and the 31st of March? We had a commitment from the President to really addressing GBV in 2019. I don't see much evidence of that. I know it's not the primary focus of the DPWI, but we have, again, an incomplete immovable asset register, so it makes the identification of potentially habitable buildings that much more difficult. We need to approach this. Yes, it's a DSD, a DPWI joint venture, but we need to approach it, I think, slightly differently, in that we need to get our immovable asset register comprehensively documented, so that I can come to you, Minister, and say to you, I have 5 buildings in Johannesburg that are immediately available. I have 4 in Pretoria. I have 7 wherever. I'm sure you get my point, Minister, that we need to be able to know exactly what is on our books, so that when the Department of Social Development comes to us and says, we need a facility that has X number of rooms and potentially those number of bedrooms and those number of bathrooms, we can go straight to an electronic system that says, okay, matching to a very great extent, we have buildings in Johannesburg, Durban, wherever. And that is only going to be achieved if we have a comprehensive, well-planned electronic system that identifies the buildings that we have. Please, Minister, when we are attacking this GBV issue, can we attack the issue of an immovable asset register that is hopelessly incomplete? Thank you. I'll leave it there, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I will not be able to open my video due to network problems where I am, Chair. Chair, let me start by welcoming your inputs in this particular important meeting. And I want to agree with you that indeed we still need to comply with health protocol if we want to try and avoid the issue of coronavirus spreading. Well, in one of the speeches of the president once said that the issue of GBV is a second pandemic in our country, starting with, of course, Corona, then this one, which is HPV. So I think one needs to appreciate the fact that we have taken this particular initiative, making sure that we make buildings available for victims and survivors of GBVF. However, Chair, well, according to the report, we are told that there's going to be a person who is going to be appointed at a director level within the department. I want to know exactly what will be the job description of that particular person. And also, Chair, I just want to also check if this will not be a duplication, the Department of Police and also the Department of Social Services departments that I may not be in a position to mention to the information that I don't have with them. But I want to say, Chair, if this may not be a duplication. And Chair, I also want to know if this has not been motivated by cases of GBV which are within the department. And if it is so, Chair, may we maybe be provided with the number of cases of GBV that take place within the department, if there's any. Chair, maybe lastly, well, it has been also reported that there are sites that have been visited. When the minister spoke at the beginning of the meeting, he indicated that we are going to have one center per municipality. I want to make an example for instance. Mpumalanga, it is said that 9 properties were visited. And from where I am, say, we do not have 9 municipalities in Mpumalanga. There's far more than that number of municipalities. And the place that is indicated that was in the visited is Nelspruit. Now, Chair, I just want to know if then you talk and you refer to properties that are available for victims of GBV, in particular in Mpumalanga, do you mean that those who will be victims or who are victims will be housed in Nelspruit? And what about what the minister has said to say that each municipality is going to have a center that you know, accommodates survivors of GBV? And Chair, very lastly, I want to also appreciate the fact that as the department, we are heeding the call of ensuring that in terms of procurement, women must benefit 40% of it. This is going to go a long way in ensuring that women who get to be victims of GBV, who may not come out and report such cases because of the fear that they might lose support from their partners, they will be able you know, to fend for themselves or to be independent financially and be able, when that takes place, wherein a GBV case takes place, that woman will be able to walk out of that particular relationship and be able to report the matter to the police without the fear of losing any support. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Matebula. Honorable Suisa.
Thank you, Chair. I hope my network is not going to fail me today. Chairperson, I need to in all the presentation, I think I've missed some of it because of the network problems, but it's very difficult to give support to women out there, to ensure out there, if we can't take care of women in the department, please to say that's one thing I want to say. Minister, I've got a few questions and a few concerns. We had a problem in the past of when we came to dealing with quarantine sites being provided by the Department of Public Works. And we found ourselves having whereby private properties were more activated than public properties. And it was a great concern that we've got a department that's supposed that party available pandemic that is out. And as Honorable Mashele, you just stated municipality, yet we are sitting at a number of and then out of those, only 22 were confirmed to be suitable. And then out of the 23, you still have 26 that you need to visit. The cases of women that are subjected to being violated, whether physically, emotionally, sexually, any kind of abuse against women, children, and the youth, and our lesbian and gay communities. And yet, at this moment, when it was said in 2019, we are in 2021, we are sitting with 22 properties that have been confirmed to be suitable. And when I go to your challenges, that according to the presentation, there are no challenges, but you're sitting at 22. And it means that each and every municipality needs to have that. So in the case, Minister, I need to, in the case where properties are not suitable for victims to go there, what intervention are you going to make sure that you've got enough properties without going to private properties or private ownership or private places of people that are willing to give us places? What intervention are you going to do to make sure that those properties that are not suitable are actually going to be suitable? Because because many people don't even know where to go. So maybe you can even give us the names and the towns where these shelters are, so that you should be able to where you need to go if you've got a problem. And another thing, Minister, what I need to ask is, what is the role of police, of subs in this whole thing when it comes to shelters and making sure, because Department of Public Works and police and social development, they need to work hand in hand in each and every municipality. So can we get a list of where are in terms of these shelters, to say each ministry has got the names and whether it's private property.
Thank you, Honorable Suwisa, Honorable Van Skalvik.
Good morning, Chairperson, Minister, DM, members, the department, and everyone else present. Chair, I'm not going to speak to the issues that has already been raised. Safe to say that I'm really welcoming the urgency the department is trying to address this great initiative with, amidst all the challenges that's been experienced. And I would really like to see, Chairperson, that progress needs to be fast-tracked in terms of really implementing this thing, because rightfully so, we acknowledge and we appreciate it that the department stepped in when the president spoke and tried to deal with the issues. But I think I'm echoing the sentiment raised by Honorable Yiglin that when the asset register should be completed, as soon as it is completed, that will also assist us in moving forward. Then, Chairperson, the Minister spoke about some lessons learned, which includes the long drawn out of the MOUs. So I would like to know, what are the interventions that they are making as a department, or strategies that they are implementing to fast-track this finalization of the MOUs? Then I would like to welcome the initiative that the department is engaging some provinces where there's no available national buildings available, like in the Northern Cape, because it's really a challenge in some vast rural provinces where the vastness of the provinces are so great. I take, for example, in the Northern Cape, in my constituency, which is situated in Rietfontein in the Kalahari, which is situated in the largest municipality in the country in terms of geographical spread. We see that the closest center for GBV and S is 264 kilometers, which is outrageous when we look at the practicality. So it will really assist us, even though the department is envisaging to have one center per municipality, they should also look at the distances in terms of the geographical spread and further strengthen that initiative to ensure that more centers are available. Then, Chairperson, I've looked at the states that's been that we've been sent by the staff, and it's a matter of concern to me. That's why this issue is so close to my heart, and we really need to fast track this thing, because we see that the states are showing that majority of this transgressions are taking place within the people's own households. And we really need to, through this initiative, we really need to ensure that those survivors are being taken out of those households. Then, Chairperson, I would I'm happy to see the in terms of the economic empowerment, where women are and designated groups in specifically are being prioritized for women emancipation. But, Chairperson, when we look at the lessons learned as stipulated by the minister, I'm wondering if those are the only challenges that's been experienced, or do they have other challenges, especially within the cooperative engagements with other departments, which needs urgent attention, which can fast track the rollout of this program. And Chairperson, lastly, I want to really stress that we appreciate the fact that the department is taking this issue very seriously by appointing a full-time person to deal with gender issues. So just on a more personal note, Chairperson, seeing that we are members of this portfolio committee and we share the same vision as the department, it would be appreciated that whenever there are rollouts taking place within the different provinces, within the different constituencies, that the members attached to those areas are contacted to see if they are available to partake in those programs. That will also help to strengthen the message and spread the message more widely. I want to thank you, Chairperson. I'll pause there. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Van Stalwijk, Honorable Tring, followed by Honorable Jobo.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm going to leave my video off also for connectivity challenges, but firstly, just want to appreciate the presentation and again offer our condolences and prayers to the Minister on her loss. Chair, we support the call to address both the internal as well as the external gender-based violence cases internally within the department, as well as what the department is doing to address gender-based violence and femicide cases outside of the department. We also support the call to fix our challenges with the asset register, as well as looking at what is the ratio of private versus public buildings that are going to be used. Then, Minister, you mentioned the length of time that it took, and you expressed some frustration with the length of time that it took to obtain something which should be simple, like an MOU. So my question would be, what has been done to shorten that? Those time periods. Where a problem has been identified, for example, the wastage of time in obtaining an MOU to roll out what is a key and important strategic plan in terms of addressing gender-based violence. How are you going to mitigate that this does not repeat itself going forward? And then perhaps my last question is, very often we find, and I know that lots of departments tend to focus a lot on the urban areas, and at times we tend to forget our rural communities. And so my simple question here is, how are we going to ensure that our rural communities are not going to be left behind in the rollout of this particular plan? And then perhaps finally, what interaction is there with other sister departments to ensure that when those who have been faced with gender-based violence are perhaps housed in a safe house that has been identified, but after a period of time, they're going to have to return back to their communities or back to the place where the violence actually took place. And so this requires an interministerial, an interdepartmental effort. And so what interdepartmental and interministerial efforts are in place to ensure the future safety of those who have been victims of gender-based violence? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Tring, Honorable Jobo. And then after Honorable Jobo, Honorable Van Skalwijk, she left a point that she would like to come and present. Honorable Jobo.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Honorable Members and the Minister and the DM. Chairperson, Honorable Marcel is supposed to be part of this meeting, but because of fiber in Acacia, is not in today. I'd like to know to the Minister the progress on the issue of fiber in Acacia. We raised this issue several times that we have challenges in Acacia. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Jabo. Honorable Franz Garvey.
Thank you, Chair, for allowing me once more. Chairperson, there's one area that I was thinking about. During the COVID period, we are still in it, but in the beginning, when we received presentations from the department, they've identified certain buildings, both private and public, but I'm specifically thinking about the public buildings, that has been identified as quarantine sites. And some of these buildings needed some renovations. But when we saw the how the buildings has been used, it's clear that many of those buildings has not been used. So I wanted to know if there are not some of those buildings that can also be used for this initiative that was identified as quarantine sites. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Franz Galvik. Minister and your team, TM, one thing that we know is that South Africa is referred to as one of the countries in which you have a high crime rate. And looking at those crime stats, violence against women and children, we all know that it is escalating each day. If we can compare what was happening in 2017 with what was happening in 2020, we could see the drastic hike in terms of violence against women and children. This is a correct start, if we may say, you providing or collaborating with other departments. The reality is that we have to fight gender-based violence and femicide now to ensure that our kids have future, and we have to win that battle. We have to win this war that we are facing as the country. So the first thing is that the signing of the MOUs or MOA, Minister, it is very crucial. But it is also proper that you ensure that before signing, everything is above board. We don't want to see after signing and find out that there are many things that are coming up. We have to look at the proper procedures and all that. But two, Minister, working with other departments on this, and we have to, at some stage, not talk about strategy, talk about the implementation. We really appreciate. And I know that one of the houses, properties, not house, that has been handed over to the Department of Social Development in Eastern Cape, in OR Tambo, in Thata, is in Ngqoza Hill Municipality in Lusikisiki. Lusikisiki, in terms of crime stats in Eastern Cape, is among the first five police stations where rape cases reported are high. Remember, there are those that are not reported. So you donating that house or handing it over to Department of Social Development, I think it will do a lot. But looking at the cases that you're saying, the areas that you have identified, I know that in Eastern Cape, your regional offices are in Gqeberha and Mthatha. We have to be used to this name, Gqeberha. So, but I am worried
and the properties that you have identified are in these two areas. I am worried there is another municipality. I know you're saying that you have to ensure that all the municipalities are provided with these properties. Buffalo City Municipality. I think it is leading in the province in terms of violence against women and children. So I think it is one of the areas that the Eastern Cape should look at. Not only these two areas, Yomtata and Gqeberha, where your regional offices are, but I think also East London, per se, East London, to be specific, you need to look to East London. I know there are many properties of public works and infrastructure that are lying there, that are not used, some are still in good condition. So we need to look at that. This fight cannot be won only by providing these safe houses and properties. The issue of empowering women economically, it also assists them because it gives them power even over the perpetrators. Many women are in wrong relationships because someone is staying there because the man is providing for her. And she remains in that relationship. She is a punching bag day in, day out, but she remains in that relationship because she doesn't see the life outside that relationship. She knows that if she gets out of that relationship, she will be forced to maybe to sleep on the street, to starve and all that. So empowering women economically must be something that all the departments are talking about. I'm worried, Minister, when you are saying that there is a judgment that came out that said that the 30% set aside is wrong. I think Treasury needs to come up with a clear act on that one. I understand that in municipalities, it is there in the MFMA that 30% should be given to designated groups, which include women, children, and people living with disabilities. So I think Treasury should look at this judgment, but we have to ensure that whatever that is being done, whatever procurement, women should be looked at, women, the service providers that are women, service providers that are young people, and service providers that are people living with disabilities. There are many, but they are not given jobs or they are not asked to provide for services. Even in these properties that you have identified, you can even utilize those women that are staying there to paint, to clean, maybe using the EPWP program, so that at the end of the day, they are getting something, so that even when they have to move out of that area where they will be, at least they have something. But appreciating the presentation, it is clear. Then asking you, Minister, and Tim and Reverend Stemmela, to respond on the comments and questions that have been posed by honourable members. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable members. I will just make a few general comments, Chairperson. The first one, I don't know if the members have received the list of properties that we are currently talking about. And when you look at the list of properties as we have presented it to you, it goes to the point raised by Honourable Matabula. So we have just now have experience of the first phase. So the second phase, a strategy, is what we are defining now. And when we report again to the committee, our report will reflect all 258 municipalities. It will reflect all the 44 districts and the 8 metropolitans. So that the way we've gone about it now was just to go and look what can we find on the immovable asset register that is a possible house that could possibly be used for centers for survivors of GBVF. We are changing that now to say that we must provide in all the municipalities, districts, and metros. So when you go onto the immovable asset register, you go and look specific for a specific area. And where we as DPWI don't have a property, there we then have to work together with the municipalities and the provinces that must also release buildings. So the next report will be a lot more clearer with information, not just about what we have identified, but what we have identified, what we have inspected, and how far are we with the renovation of those particular buildings. Because we do not only need to look at, my view is that certain houses, we can also look at bigger buildings that we can repurpose for the purpose of being a gender-based violence survivor center. Right now, we are very inward looking. We're only looking at houses. The instruction now will be to look at buildings because, like for instance, in a metropolitan, well, it will be good if you have centers, bigger centers where that is central for all the members in the metropolitans to come. But even the metropolitans are very big. So we are really changing the way we are identifying buildings. We are not identifying private sector buildings. We will be discussing the contribution of the private sector in terms of buildings when we meet with the Private Sector Solidarity Fund and ask them also that the private sector can also identify and make buildings available. Currently, we are only working on public-owned buildings and not on private-owned buildings. So I think with the next report, Chairperson, we will be able to be much clearer to all of you. Because the one purpose and the one area where we need to also now begin to work closely together, it's not only with the different spheres of government. We need to share the information of the shelters with members of parliament, members of the legislature, councillors. There are district champions that come from the various that is being appointed by the president. They must all have this information. And we must also ask public representatives that in the area where you live, and if you are aware of a building that's there, that you can also direct us towards that building. So if all of us can come together, the centers is really a place to remove the women out of that abusive situation. Because normally they stay and then get killed because they got no place to go. The question about the South African Police Services. Yes, we share with SAPS the centers that are operational or where they are, because normally when a woman come and report to SAPS about abuse, SAPS will then either take the woman there or refer the woman to that center. And in our discussion with SAPS, and is that for them is difficult. Police gender is violence. Like one of the members said, it's happening inside the house by people that you know. So the steps come in after the event once the woman has been abused already. So there is a serious breakdown of the social fabric of society in our country. And I think we all have got a role to play to strengthen the family unit. We don't have families, functional families. Families are dysfunctional, where you've got women abuse, you've got drug abuse, and all of that. So on the social aspect, you know, that is where we need to get in more social workers, and we all need to rebuild the family unit. Just about the department, first of all, the gender-based unit that we found in the department in 2019 was not a unit set up to actually act and do and respond to gender-based violence. It was more a unit for advocacy. And so there was just a small budget for advocacy. We have changed that now to place this gender-based violence unit within Intergovernmental Relations Department. It used to be in the DHS department before. So we did do some restructuring so that we can begin to allocate more funding to the unit. But in terms of gender balance in the department, we are sitting with a situation where we just have over 30% women in our department and over 50% men. And so now you will see in all the advertisements that we are putting now, we make it very clear that we've got a bias towards women, especially in the senior echelons of the department and lower down. Is very, very male dominated, and there is now a strategy to at least bring the balance back. In terms of the incomplete immovable asset register and to digitize the immovable asset register, we have on some other occasions briefed the members about the slow implementation of this Archibus model. It started more than 9 years ago when this model was adopted by the department, but all the modules of this model have still not been implemented. We have now sought the help of National Treasury to assist us to digitize the immovable asset register. I did say that we... The buildings that were identified for quarantine sites, those buildings were from the private sector and from the public sector. But since government is no longer responsible to provide accommodation for people to go in isolation for 10 or for 14 days, the cost of isolation must now be borne by. If the people come from overseas, they must pay for their own accommodation for isolation. But the list is still there, and we will certainly be revisiting that list and see, you know, from the public sector side, some of those facilities that we could possibly also use there. I did say in our next report, we will now speed up. We're sending out a notice to all our regional offices that in next week, until next week Friday, they have time to go and inspect all of those buildings. We don't need to send 10, 20 people from 5 different departments there. Our regional offices must do that, and they can work together with the respective provinces instead of having all of these big teams going around all the countries, all over the country. Honourable Chairperson, there is an interministerial committee chaired by the Minister of Women, Youth and People with Disabilities. And that unit through that IMC, the plan, which is now called the National Strategic Plan, has been finalised there. So we are sort of past the policy stages. And a lot of the implementation and the transversal management of departments working together is being discussed here. Many members ask about the MOA. Yes, you could say in the case of the Western Cape was the first time that we were doing it. But we now have got some kind of a draft of MOA which we can standardize. And we have asked the provinces to make input so that we don't have to have a different MOA for different provinces, but we will standardize the MOA that need to be signed. Because remember, we're only providing the building, but what happens inside the building? The programs, it's funded and it's dealt with by the provincial departments of social development and the national one. Then we also have a number of existing gender-based violence centers all over the country. And I was thinking about this when members spoke about how do you economically empower a woman before, after, you know, she needs to go out on her own and leave the center. There's a center in Cape Town called the South Kibaatman Center. And it's amazing the model that they are using. And as Department of Public Works, we are working together with them. We help them to clean the place and we have made donations of computers and so to them. But this is really where the actual program to empower the women economically, that is where social development and the provinces will come in with those plans. From DPWI side, we must now make sure that we, in terms of EPWP, we need to look, and I agree 100% with members that says that how do we empower women, especially to do maintenance and repairs? We must have just women teams that are women-led that we can employ to do maintenance and repairs like painting and fixing. Women can do that. And already in the department, we are looking at establishing this women maintenance plans, teams where that we can use EWP for. But I want to assure the members that the next report will be completely different from what we are giving it to you now because of the lessons that we've learned in the first phase. And we are now into the second phase. And we are really doing things differently so that we can speed up the process. In terms of the victimization of women within the department, I will ask the acting DG to deal with that. We will certainly speed up our performance because of the task team. And that as the minister, I've joined the task team and we will be meeting on a weekly basis. So, Honourable Chairperson and members, we are trying our best. And just in conclusion, Chairperson, I just want to thank all the members for the messages of condolences. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much and God bless.
Thank you, Minister. I think the Reverend Stemela would like to come in. In addition, you...
Yes, Chairperson, we have Reverend Stemela, and we also have Mr. Sole Ntuane. He's with the DDG Neleti Makubele. They're from the real estate branch. And Sole will talk to the state-owned properties. Given that these are state-owned properties, he'll also make an input. But we'll start with Reverend Stemela. Thank you, Chair.
Over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the Minister has covered most of the questions that have been asked here. Regarding the internal efforts to combat gender-based violence, I think we as a department, we had a program with Commission for Gender Equality. I think this came up after there was a query that was lodged with the CGE, and we embarked on a training. On first of all, it was the review of the policy of the sexual harassment policy that we had. We engaged with labor relations, and there were also labor relations given training on sexual harassment by CGE, and we also had several workshops within the whole branches. I'm not branches. The the regional offices. We had lots of workshops on and awareness on the policy on sexual harassment. And we also have we also report to DPSA on the number of cases. This one is a mandatory reporting by all the departments. We report it twice a year to DPSA. We're working with labor relations on this one, whereby the DG have signed this, I think just beginning of this last year. Yeah, last year. The last report was in November. So we'll be reporting again end of March with the cases on sexual harassment. There are a lot of awareness campaigns and awareness programs within the department that are driven from the gender unit. We somebody asked also about the bullying within the department. We've had lots of cases on that one, and in partnership with labor relations, we had a workshop on bullying as well as with wellness. So there are many activities that we do on an annual basis, and most of the time it's always even highlighted, especially during the calendar month, depending on whether it is Women's Month, whether it is World AIDS Day, whether it is on those awareness campaigns are ongoing. But then because I did not prepare this information because we just thought we were going to be talking only about the lease agreement. But like Minister says, next time when you come in, we'll come in and give a comprehensive report on what is actually been done within the department. And indeed, the approach that we will be taking, that the minister have actually instructed with capacitation of the gender unit to ensure that we even spread not only just within the department but also beyond into the sector itself. Hence the move of the unit to the IGR branch, where we will be able to focus also in the sector, on the public works sector. We've already started the engagements, because we even had a workshop last year with the gender focal persons of public works, provincial public works, where we are discussing about our programs and how do we sign the synergy to ensure that we the sector itself, we have kind of a uniform approach, and also to learn from each other. So I think the capacitation of the unit and the realignment of the unit will also assist. But I want to say that I have to say this, that you know, it's not only about the gender unit, you know, raising issues of gender mainstream. It is also about the actual receiving from the implementing branches, because you realize that most of the work will be done in the department will be done by different branches. So the importance of the task team, and I think with the minister's involvement now, it will also assist us, because sometimes, yes, as gender unit, you would be in a position where you are able to come up with ideas, but you are not the only, you are not the implementer, you depend. So the interdependence also has been a problem, but we are working on that, and are hopefully with the task team now being going to be supported by the minister, then we'll be able to work better and produce more results. The issue of honorable Suisa, of honorable Suisa about the looking at the list of properties. I think the minister have already mentioned that when you look at, you might be the presentation might not cover all the places that the shelters or the buildings are in, but we have also provided a list of properties which will show the areas, because it's not necessarily in the urban areas, but in our presentation we just mentioned those areas because they are our regional office, which are responsible for the different rural areas. So in the list that the Excel list that we have provided, you'll be able to see the town or the township of where this shelters are. You spoke about the Nelspruit, in Mpumalanga one. There are many, the buildings are not necessarily in Nelspruit. Some are in Lotte, in Delmas, in Camden, in Emelo, in Standerton. So with the large list, you'll see the spread of the properties. But we are not denying the fact that we are not able to reach out to all the municipalities and the district municipalities, like what the minister said. Hence our engagement with the provincial departments to ensure, and the municipality, to ensure that we are able to reach out to even more areas. Also with the guidance of the Department of Social Development, because like the minister already mentioned, there already existing shelters in some areas. And so they will be also, they're also assisting us to show where the need is, where the gaps are. And we are also trying to take that approach so that we are able to reach out where there are no shelters, existing shelters at the moment. The next one, I think the minister has covered most of them. And the economic empowerment, Chairperson, you mentioned your concern for economic empowerment. We are definitely like I've mentioned, that we are definitely trying to engage with Treasury. This initiative has already been in place already through Presidency and Treasury, where we have had about two meetings already with Treasury and with the Presidency and Department of Women, where we're engaging about the 40% pronouncement by the president, how we are going to, departments had to make a presentation of how they're going to ensure that 40% is reached. And hence we are talking about the women empowerment program that we're going to put in place as a drive. But we've also, I've already mentioned that we've also engaged branches to review their procurement plans to ensure that the procurement plans are targeting designated groups for the next financial year. And we've put in place interventions to ensure that we really try to get to the 40%, because currently we are sitting at 21%. And we have this inter-ministerial committee, not inter-ministerial, at a technical level, the IMC, but at technical level, where we engage with SAPS, Department of Health, Department of Social Development, Department of Women, where we discuss these issues of operationalization and services within the shelters. So as department, we provide the buildings, but then the other areas like Department of Health must provide services within those shelters and social development. So we do have these meetings where we sit and we talk about strategies and how we support each other to ensure that the shelters are complete, because without those services, then the shelters just become just the building. And we have those meetings almost every week with where we are called the social impact work stream. This is where we even had an opportunity to discuss the issues of funding, whereby we finally Department of Women managed to also facilitate the funding by CARA. So this is where we meet almost every week as a team, as an inter ministerial team at technical level, where we are able to raise this issue. I think I will stop here. If there's anything that I have left, my colleagues will assist. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Analedi.
Before the acting DGC, may you please allow me to say something?
Honorable Matebola.
Okay, the speaker will just have a stop off now, Chair. She refers to members as somebody. We all know, even in terms of the rules, that we don't have somebody, but we should be referred as members or by Honorable Matebola, for an example. But to say somebody, I think it's a bit belittling, Chair. Can that be corrected? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Matabula. I think you correct Reverend Semela.
Apologies, ma'am. You know, I'm very sorry. It's my first time to speak in this kind of platform. Thank you very much. I'm apologies.
But Reverend Semela, this committee has been in existence since 2019, and you are in the department. So your apology, the way you are saying it, you must just apologize unconditionally.
Ma'am, I'm unconditionally, I really apologize. It was not meant to be like that.
Yeah.
I apologize sincerely, humbly.
Thank you. Thank you, Reverend Stemela. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chair, I have two other colleagues in our presence. It's Neledu Makubele. She's a DDG for Real Estate Management, and that particular branch deals with all the state-owned properties that are made available, you know, for the purpose of shelters. So I'd like to give the opportunity to Neleti, as well as our Chief Director, Sole Njwane, who is supporting this program directly to make an input and to deal with some of the questions raised as well. Colleagues, over to you. I'm not sure which one of you will take it.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, Minister and Deputy Minister, and colleagues. DG, it will be Soli because he has all the details of the properties in the various provinces. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, Minister, Deputy Minister, and Honorable Members, and the DG. Thank you very much for this particular platform. I think the Minister and the Reverend Semela have actually covered a number of areas which were raised as an advice or concern. Mine is to also confirm that the question that Ma'am Sharon van Schalkwyk, Honorable Sharon van Schalkwyk, was asking about the quarantine sites. I'd like to report that one of the property which was identified as a quarantine site, being Salvocop, was being handed over to the Department of Social Development as a health center, and in that way it is currently operational. And I'd like to also agree with the Minister that when he started the program, we were more focused on the residential properties, but with the specifications now being leaning towards more of functional accommodation, in our next phase, when you identify these properties, we are going to identify properties that are more of office accommodation that can be converted into residential. And I think as we are then sitting with the Department of Social Development, we're even getting to know more about their accommodation specifications. And I think in our next list, we are going to identify more of those properties that are functional so that they can accommodate a number of victims of gender-based violence and femicides. I would like to also point out that Honorable Nolita Ntobengwana has highlighted the fact that we also need to identify properties that are located in rural areas such as Lusikisiki. And I think in the next visit that the Minister has indicated will happen not later than the 12th of March instant. And there are certain properties in the Eastern Cape province that are located in some remote areas such as Lusikisiki, which shall also be visited to verify whether it will suit the client's requirement. I would like to also highlight that when we then do the selection in our future, we'll ensure that we also identify more of properties that are located in rural areas, and we shall also ensure that those properties perhaps can house are not only limited to the residential properties. I think most of the questions have been answered. I will pause there. Thank you very much, DG and DDG.
Thank you very much, Soli. Chairperson, just one or two issues to respond to as well. There were a few comments made about the asset register. And without defending the register, I'd like Soli to also comment there about the fitness for purpose of the register. to identify these sites, you know, as shelters for gender-based violence. And, you know, I'd like to comment, but I'd like to also, you know, add to Chairperson that the asset register was qualified in the last financial year by the Auditor General on the grounds of evaluation. In some respects, that some of the properties were not adequately valued. But we've moved beyond that challenge of completeness. They now conclude, the AG, that our asset register is substantially complete and does not any longer warrant an audit qualification on that particular basis. But Solly can also comment about the fitness for purpose for his need in identifying these sites. Chair, I'd just like to touch on two more issues. The one is the interaction with sister departments. It was mentioned that we need to obviously appreciate the intergovernmental relations aspect of this particular you know, need and challenge of providing these facilities. And we've now located this program in the intergovernmental relations unit. In fact, the colleague has a bereavement, family bereavement, but the program as a whole is now driven by our intergovernmental relations. And they essentially coordinate this initiative with the understanding and appreciation that the interaction with the other government departments, in particular Department of Social Development, as at the provincial as well as the national level, is key in this regard. So that is appreciated, Chairperson, that particular input. And then finally, Chair, another common theme of the inputs is this long drawn out process and the memorandum of understanding that takes time. And I'd like to comment there that one of the key interventions we've made that we need to continue to make is to manage the expectations that the department is responsible and owns its properties, and these properties must be properly maintained and repaired and renovated to make them fit for the purpose of serving as gender-based violence shelters. Or shelters for victims of gender-based violence. But what transpires thereafter in terms of GIAMA, the Immovable Asset Management Act, and our own business processes, the department then runs on the basis of a user charge that the user must pay. And in the process, we need to recover our repairs and maintenance costs, capital expenditure, as well as service charges, such as rates and taxes. And that is where we've had a challenge as well, that we need to manage that with the user department, especially that the provincial departments are not our usual clients and our relationships with them is somewhat new. We need to manage the expectation that we provide the facility, but there's also a user charge involved. Once we manage that, the MOU will then speed up and we'll obviously have quicker turnaround time. So that's also an important consideration which we've had to address. Chairperson, I'd like to hand over back to the Deputy Minister. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Acting CG. Deputy Minister.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, and a very good morning to all the Honourable Members, as led by your Honourable South Chair, as well as officials present. Minister, if she's still there, I know that she has a meeting now, as she has apologised earlier. Let me just cover three principles which will talk to our drive to win the war, if I must use your exact words, Honourable Chairperson. The one is that when we share the information that we work with our district champions, it will be easy to reach the various municipalities where we work. And therefore, in respect of communication of the sites, the various sites, to the various champions, will speed up the process. But also, remember, we already, as the ministry, held a meeting with all provincial MECs of social development and all MECs of public works and infrastructure in all provinces to try and fast track this work, because it is at the lower levels where really the rubber hits the tar, if I could use that language. So ours is to ensure that in our quest to win the war, there's sharing of information. But it also means that even as ourselves as public representatives now, we need to drive the messaging. I really noticed that in our quest to ensure that the facilities are there, the messaging part we not really put much emphasis on, which is another area that as a department, having identified quite a number of sites across the country for the messaging, we need to work together to ensure that the messages that are on those boards across the country kind of have an effect of arousing one's conscience, being educative and transformative, transforming the attitudes and educating especially men, because violence against women is limited on women against women. It's more on men against women. And therefore driving that messaging and education and identifying these sites where the messages must go and identifying the actual messages, we will also need your support there as honorable members and inputs as we drive that program as well. On empowerment, the minister did cover the area of the question of the court case that declared the current set-asides as illegal. We really need to work there together to find, because it is interpretation of legislation that has caused that. We really need to work together there to find a suitable legislation that will help us drive what we would want to see. On our side, as the department and the sector, we set up what we called collaborative fora, where CBE, CIDB, all those that work in the transformation of the industry, and especially women, we set them up in groups where they will help us look at the laws, not only the preferential procurement, even other laws that may pose a threat in the process of us wanting to drive transformation and empowerment of women specifically. And therefore those, it was for me heartwarming to hear from the Department of Women, Youth and People with Disabilities, comments from that department around the work that those collaborative forums are doing, which was quite a very pleasing and a positive report, because what we set those forums to do, to influence, to come up with strategies as the people, we feel that those who are affected the worst are the best to come up with solutions. So we, in that approach, I think it is working. They have worked together with Treasury. They are discussing and consulting on the kind of proposals that they feel must be included in legislation as we review the procurement, the preferential procurement act. And I think that our honorable members also need to get closer to that, because for us, even though the court says this preferential procurement is unconstitutional, but the objectives of that the objectives of that act are to ensure that we change the status quo, we create an environment where women are empowered. So the set aside is not just a window dressing exercise, it's a step that we thought is necessary if we are to give a meaningful contribution to transforming the economic relations that the powers therein. My last point, Chair, is on, well, I think I covered the geography and the ruralness, because also the issue of the geography will be addressed when all municipalities have, because the key decision taken is all municipalities must have these safe centers, and therefore ours is to ensure that, I know that there are municipalities, especially in the Northern Cape, where one small town is here and the next small town is 200 k's away. Obviously, in such scenarios, we can't say a municipality will have one center, but for us, the one municipality, one center, is to try and propel us to cover the geographic space in a manner that responds to the current challenge. But where conditions require that more, we are not limited that we can't have more. In fact, in the cities that are there already, we have more. But also we need to be reminded that this work of safe centers have been work that has been there conducted by NGOs. And therefore, it is not that where we have not identified the buildings, there are no centers. Centers were there, but they were not covering the whole of South Africa. And therefore, what we are doing is to try and ensure that the whole of South Africa is covered through the buildings, the facilities, and the like that we have. And lastly, my Honorable Chair, I do want to, as a politician leader in the department, add my voice in apologizing for the department in terms of the comment. I must admit, Chair, that we have a particular way that we address each other, and it is just unfortunate that Reverend Stemela is attending this for the first time. But my apology is not to really justify that, because we watch this on TV, we participate, and in truly the department is not coming to the committee for the first time. Mine is to, on behalf of the department, profusely apologize to the honorable members and appeal to the acting DG to say we need to drill people before coming to the committee, especially those that would be coming to the first time, to the committee for the first time. Our sincere apologies to the committee. And we will work, this work is very close to our heart, because we are women ourselves, and as leadership of the department, and we feel the pain that women feel in the relationships, abusive relationships that they find themselves. But I also want to appeal to all of us as leadership because honorable members are leaders where they come from, where they are currently, that we may have these safe centers. Somebody said to me, in fact, I think it's the Minister of Social Development, when we were opening one of the centers, she was saying, the government should not be spending this money on these centers. Had our society been normal society, had our homes been homes, and therefore we all, as leaders of the country now, have a responsibility to ensure that the actual message that seeks to stop the gender-based violence and femicide, and messages that we carry through everywhere we go, let us join hands in preaching that that way of life is an absurd way of life, and let us ensure that we educate our young men, our boy children, to take, because it's going to take now a generation to stop this, but we need to act in a manner that is educative, supportive to young men to such a point that they indeed see this as something that's not acceptable, and therefore desist from actions that seek to act in a very violent manner, especially against women. And therefore, Honorable Chair, allow me to thank the contribution of the honorable members in this, and the advices. We appreciate them, especially this one that says also consider those sites that were for quarantine purposes, especially those buildings that are owned by government. We really need to up our game and act faster. And I hope that the senior management that is with us today is listening to the urgency that we so much always speak about, that it is not only us in the department that feel that we're not doing enough. Even our overseers feel we are not doing enough. We are not acting in a manner that reflects urgency. And therefore, I do want to appreciate the support from the committee and the comments, the positive comments shared. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you, GM. Honorable members, any second bites on this before we move to another item? Honorable Hicklin, I don't know whether Honorable Fanskalvig, your hand was up before or it is up now, because all along it has been up.
Thanks, Chair. My statement is very much just what I wrote in the chat. To please urge all of us as responsible members of Parliament to please not share the addresses of the safe houses with anyone and everyone, because that is guaranteed to lead to a second round of abuse for women who go into those shelters, because then the perpetrators of violence know exactly where to find them. We have to be very circumspect how we share that knowledge. That's just the point I'd like to make. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Hicklin. Minister, in her absence, DM, Acting DG, and the team, the ruling party declared this year as the year of Mama Charlotte Maxeke, the first black woman to obtain a degree, a woman who was an internationalist, humanitarian, a woman who looked after so many people doing good work. It is therefore crucial that what you are doing in the fight against gender-based violence, and secondly, knowing that the department is the owner of all the properties of the government, you continue, but also we dare not fail the woman who could have been the president of this country had there been no apartheid, had there been no patriarchy, which has its roots embedded in our communities and our systems. If we really want to change the lives of women and young people out there, it is crucial that this department plays its role. Remember, many departments out there do not trust you, much as you are the owners of all these buildings and properties. Maybe because of the past failures and mistakes, especially when it comes to repairs and maintenance. This one that we have taken over, it will also stop the cry that we have, all of us, in the provinces, that so many properties of public works are lying there. They need repairs, they are vandalized, criminals are housed on those properties because no one. I made an example in one meeting that we had. In Kumbo, Eastern Cape, there are properties there in which Department of Justice usually housed the magistrate, the prosecutors, and all that were working in the magistrate offices. But those houses now, they just there, the criminals, they go there, they rape people there. Because those people that were staying there were told by public works to vacate those houses. They're lying there. So if really we can ensure that these houses that are not being utilized are even donated to municipalities. Some municipalities even lack offices. So if you can donate, use them as safe houses because the department is failing to maintain those houses. We dare not fail Mama Charlotte Maxeke in this year that has been declared as the year of Mama Charlotte Maxeke. On the 7th of April, she would have been 150 years if she was alive, but she is no more. As the department that is being led by women, as you have indicated, so Deputy Minister, you dare not fail that woman. GBVF is a fight that all of us, not only women, we must embark upon. We must win this war that is directed to women and our children. Thank you, DM. Hoping that next time when we get a report on this, at least a lot should have been done. And especially on what was highlighted by the members. Ms. Martinez, we are going to be dealing with the minutes now and after we'll be dealing with the plan which has been updated in dealing with expropriation bill. Ms. Martinez, I think we may then, if you are free to go, DM and your team. But if you would like to remain till the end of the meeting, you are also allowed to do so.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think we will have to quickly have our own to follow up on the issues raised. Once again, thanks to all, and I appreciate your comments. Thank you.
Thank you, DM. Ms. Martinez,
Thank you, Chairperson. The first set of minutes that we will adopt today is a minutes of the meeting that was held on the 17th of February 2021, in which we dealt with the consideration and adoption of the 2021 Quarter 1 Committee Program. We also considered and adopted the 2020-21 First and Second Quarter Performance Reports of the Committee. We also considered and adopted the Parliamentary Villages Oversight Report and minutes of previous meetings. I would now like the honourable members to just zoom into the attendance and just double check if everything is okay. All right, moving right along to the resolutions. All right, the first resolution was that the Secretariat should follow up and establish whether funds were made available for the radio promotions informing the public of the expropriation bill to be aired as soon as possible. So that is one. At 6.2, the Secretariat must send the draft media plan to members of the committee as soon as it is finalized. 6.3, the department must ensure that all uninhabitable prefab housing units are given urgent attention and residents must be moved to proper units as a matter of urgency. At 6.4, the department must ensure that asbestos roofing is banned from use in the parliamentary villages. 6.5, the department needs to ensure that they use innovative building methods as certified by AGRIMA SA. Second, last one, the department and parliament need to urgently sort out the network issues because they pose a challenge to members, especially during virtual meetings, as we have seen also today. The last one is that the committee must be included in all meetings relating to the mandate of the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure by all structures of Parliament. That should be all from my side, Chairperson.
Thank you, Ms. Martinez. Honourable members, this minutes the true reflection of what was discussed and deliberated upon on the meeting on the set date. We can start with the corrections, if there are any corrections, and then have a mover. Honorable Njoba.
I move the adoption of the minutes. It's a true reflection.
Thank you, Honorable Njobo. The seconder. Can we get a seconder, Honorable Members, please?
I'm happy to second, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Graham Murray. Seconds. The second set of minutes, Ms. Martinez.
Thank you, Chairperson. The second set of minutes were are the minutes that of the meeting that was held on the 24th. Of February. I'm trying to flag the minutes up and I'm just battling a little bit. Please receive my humblest apologies, Chair. Here, I found it. I've got the document on screen. Is it visible to everyone?
It is.
Yes, Nola.
Right. Thank you very much. The minutes that we are considering are the minutes of the meeting that was held on the 24th of February, 2021, where in which the department briefed the committee on progress made in implementing the Bay Bridge, Kosi Bay, as well as Parliamentary Villages Oversight Report recommendations. I'd also urge again the honourable members to just look through the attendance and see if it's still captured. And then we move directly to the resolutions. We have three resolutions, the first one being that the Prestige Branch ought to provide updated information on contractors and subcontractors that are involved in maintenance work at the parliamentary villages. It further stress that the full details, such as dates at which project started and the projected completion dates with budgets, had to be provided. The second one was that the head of prestige must send an update on details experienced on projects to the committee by no later than Thursday, 25 February 2021. The last one was that the department must work on a process to minimize its reliance on consultants to implement its mandate and should rather employ the youth as part of the country's economic restructuring and recovery plan. That should be all for me on this ministry.
Thank you. Ms. Martinez and honorable members, at this minute, the true reflection of what happened in the portfolio committee on the third date, we can start with the corrections, if there are any, and then have a mover to adopt the minutes.
I'm moving, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Franz Galvig.
Any second, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Hicklin. I think it's only those two sets, Nola.
Yes, Chair, correct. It's only those two sets.
Welcome. While Nola flights the third report or the updated plan, honorable members, if you all remember, we had planned that we must have public hearings, and the date that we had set in was that it should be the beginning of March. But when we agreed that we have to extend the date for written submissions to the 28th of February, we agreed on the 15th of March. But when the president extended the level 3 health protocol restrictions on COVID-19 up to the 15th of March, we felt that no, the 19th of March would be too early for us to go on public hearings. Then we agreed that we will come up with a date. We can even utilize the constraint period for the public hearings. Written submissions, we are through with it. The 28th of February, they came, and many, we have received many. We have also received requests for oral presentation. Yesterday, we sat as the management committee, which came up with this plan
because of lack of capacity, because there's only a few of us who are capturing this. So Parliament doesn't employ a service provider to do data capturing. So that's probably why we're a bit stretched on that side. However, we are confident that we will be able to make it on that date. And then, as the chairman has said, the meetings for oral submissions will now be held from the 24th until the 25th of March during this month. We currently have about 13 organizations as well as individuals inclusive that have indicated that they would like to come through and present their submissions orally to the portfolio committee. And the MENCO had actually decided that we should also do this virtually as we have been doing with our own portfolio committee meetings. Then the MENCO also took a decision regarding the public hearings rollout to all 9 provinces, which should take place between the period 8th of April until 6th of June 2021. So the approach that we'll be following on this one, Honourable Members, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, is that we will go to a province in each and every weekend from the start of this period, 8th of April. So the first province that we've earmarked is Limpopo. So in Limpopo, we'll spend, in fact, in all provinces, as I continue with the approach, we'll be targeting 4 districts. And in those 4 districts, we'll spend 4 days, 1 day in each district. So we'll have, as the president has announced, is pronounced on level 1, the restrictions are that we can have 100 people inside a venue. So the proposal was that we could have those 100 people and then have people rotating to come through and give their submissions. Because you'd find that within the 100, there would only be 20 who are mainly giving their own presentations during public hearings. So hence then the proposal for a rotation of those people so that we can maximize public participation. We have also spoken to our colleagues from the Safety and Health Environment unit within the Organizational Wellness in Parliament. They are more than eager to assist us in this process to ensure that we curb the spread of coronavirus while we are doing these public hearings. So the first one is Limpopo, starting on the Thursday, 8th of April, until the Sunday, 11th of April, followed by Mpumalanga, and that'll be the following weekend, 15/04, 2021, until the 18th of April, 2021. After that, that'll be the Northwest, 22/04, until 25/04, and then we carry on again after, I'm not sure if this date is correct. No, this date can't be correct because this is the 22nd. Oh yes, it is correct because it's 4 days. So it's the 24th to the 25th will be in the Northwest, and then we go to Gauteng on the 29th of April until the 3rd of May, 2021. The reason for the length of this period, Honourable Members, is that there's a May Day public holiday in between. So the committee will work on the 29th and 30th of April and then break on the 1st of May for the May Day public holiday, then carry on for the next 2 days, the 2nd and 3rd of May in Gauteng. And then followed, that will be followed by the Free State, starting from the 6th of May until the 9th of May. And thereafter, KZN, 13th of May until the 16th of May. After that is the Eastern Cape from the 20th of May until the 23rd of May. Second last would be the Northern Cape, 27th of May until the 30th of May. And lastly, the Western Cape on the 3rd of June until the 6th of June. So after this, as per the rules, then we'll need to consider the report as the committee, which is in the rules termed as a deliberation by members. So that's what we'll be doing during this period from between the 8th and this, the 8th of June until the 23rd of the 6 months. I've put that period on the Honourable Members because we want to give ourselves time to draft the final report of the submissions from the written submissions that we received, the oral submissions that we will also receive, as well as the public hearing. So the committee will then sit and consider a report of those submissions altogether. Thereafter, Honourable Members will have the formal consideration of the bill clause by clause after the committee has had their own deliberations. After that, which is the final step of this process, we'll be considering and adopting the report of the committee on the expropriation bill, and then we adopt the final version of the actual bill. That should be all from my side, Honourable Chairperson, and I haven't put dates on this one because we need to just sit and consider. Actually, I don't want to put dates as yet because we know even these dates that we've put on are actually also dependent upon the change in the wave of the pandemic as well. I'll pause it right there, Chairperson. Back to you.
Thank you, Ms. Martinez. If I may add on these members on the issue of 100 and allowing people, together with Inez, we were part of the ad hoc public hearings. The last one we held them in November when the country was in level one, that is during COVID. But at the time, 250 was allowed. But you would find that there are like more than 500 people in the venue, but to get inside, you'll only have the number that is expected and the number that is allowed due to health protocols. And we'll find that there are people that would like to speak that are outside. And then there was a way that we would allow a group of 10 to come in to speak, and then we allow them to go out. But we always ensured that the number that is inside the hall is only the number that is allowed according to health protocols. So that is why you are saying now we will have this 100. But if outside there are also people that would like to speak, we'll then do it in a way that would allow 10 to come in speak, but there is a 10 that has to go out, and then do it like that in those groups so that everyone who would like to speak is allowed to speak. I just wanted to emphasize and explain that point. The reason we have 4 days is because we will then go to 4 districts in each province. Then I then invite honorable members to comment on this updated plan that we have. Honorable Graham Murray, but I think almost all members should talk on this one.
My first question, do you want to still wait for inputs, or can I start?
No, yes.
Chair, my first question is Parliament going to pay for my divorce? Just wanted to check on that, because I only see my husband on weekends, and for 10 months, do not see my husband, or 3 months do not see my husband, I think he'll leave me. Chair, what I wanted to ask is, will the entire committee be expected to attend every single public hearing, or will we split the committee so that we do alternate weekends? I'm sure most people will find that doing every single weekend is going to be almost impossible. The Northern Cape weekend is an example. It's mine and my husband's birthday. And we have a huge stoop tasting in Kraaffreinet. I've already got people who've booked to come down here. So I literally can't do that weekend. And I'm sure other people have got other commitments. So maybe what we need to do is split the committee in half and alternate weekends, just to make it easier. It'll be more affordable for Parliament in the first place. And it'll also be easier for people then to be able to plan around doing it alternate weekends, as opposed to every single weekend. Thank you so much.
Honorable Matebula, Honorable Higlin, followed by Honorable Ngumalo, Honorable Jobo, Honorable Van Skalwijk. Yeah. Everyone, don't keep speaking this one.
No, thank you very much, Chair. One needs to appreciate the fact that finally we are finalizing this particular important national question of engaging with our people, and finally getting to resolve the matter of Section 25 of our Constitution. Chair, however, I just want to check here in terms of trying to save money, save time, and save marriages. Is it not possible, Chair, that instead of us spending 4 days in one province, we spent only 1 day? Chair, I just want to check if could it not have been that we are spread to the 4 different districts that exist in a particular province. Instead of us going to one district, then we move to another and we do the same thing also in another province or in another district, moving all of us to one and all of us to another one. Could not that have been possible for us to do it in that way? Thank you very much.
Honorable Hicklin.
Thanks, Chair. My response to Honorable Matabula would be, if you have at least 4 members per political party in a committee, then you can split it where you go to 4 different districts at once. I don't believe that that is feasible. There are some people who only have 1 member, others who have 2, so it's not going to work. But I just want to echo what Honourable Graham Marais said. I really and truly think that it would be beneficial to all of us if we could split it, that we share the load, so to speak. This is possibly one of the most important bills that's going to come before Parliament. We need to make sure that we have adequate representation, but at the same time, we all have other duties that we have to take care of, not taking into account the toll on our own personal lives. In terms of our constituencies that take us away in any case, it's not feasible for us, in my humble opinion, to be away every single weekend starting at the end of, in the middle of March or beginning of April and ending in June. It just doesn't make sense to me. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Hicklin. Honourable Van Skalvik, Honourable Tring,
Honourable Mchobo,
Honourable Mchobo, Honourable Ngumal, is he still in?
Go on, sir.
Okay.
Angithokoze hlalo, ngibingelela abahlonishwa. Hayi, uPhakani Nxumalo akanankinga, ngisho singaya amaviki onke, sihlala inyanga yonke kuphi. Akunankinga nalutho nje sihlalo, sihole. Akunankinga nalutho sihlalo. Uma ngabe sihamba iviki lonke, sihamba amaviki onke, sihamba unyaka wonke, sihole, mina uyongitshela nje ukuthi sihamba nini, ngihambe. Angithokoze hlalo.
Yini, Honourable Nxumalo? Honorable Franz Calvert.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I feel the pain of the newlywed. Honorable Ngumalo. Chairperson, as much as we want to see this program being speed up, I share the same sentiments as the previous member in terms of going out every weekend. Instead, I propose that we go out for 2 weekends, skip 1 weekend, and then move on like that. Go for 2 weekends and then skip 1 weekend. So at least then we'll get the opportunity to be with our family. Then, Chairperson, in terms of splitting the committee, I don't support that motion based on the fact that, for one, we've seen it's been done by the ad hoc committee. But if we look at the composition of the ad hoc committee, we'll see there's a lot more members involved in the ad hoc committee then in terms of our own committee. That's for one. For two is there, as much as we think that if we split the committee, there will be less expenses, I think there will be more expenses because Parliament then had to provide added security, added staff and all that. And I think it's important for our own staff members to be present at each public hearing to properly capture things and just for smooth running of affairs. Then, Chairperson, I think already we have vast areas, especially in terms of your rural provinces. And we need, in terms of our mandate as parliamentarians, as well as in terms of proper consultation in terms of making provision or for the bill, we need to have sufficient consultation in terms of visiting as much as possible regions. So for us to visit each four regions per province would be seen as sufficient consultation. We should remember, Chairperson, that we shouldn't open ourselves for litigation when we haven't even finished this project. So, Chairperson, I would then therefore suggest that we keep our composition as the whole committee to go to each and every region. We stick with the four regions per province. We stick to the 4 days per province, and we just skip one weekend and then move to for 2 weekends again out to other provinces. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I was going to indicate that if one looks at the ad hoc committee in section 25. Certainly what they did was that they actually broke up the provinces into two groups. So you had two groups that were covering the nine provinces together with the districts. So I think that if we are able to do that, it would I think we'd be able to complete in a shorter period of time. So that's where the saving of costs comes in. I do not think that it will be more expensive. Actually, I think it will be a saving if we actually have two groups. I think the other possibility also to look at is to perhaps in some of your smaller provinces where the districts are not that far apart, if at all possible, and I know that logistics may not render this possible, but if at all possible to have more than one meeting per day where that is possible. So to have an early start, maybe 9 o'clock or so in the morning, and then perhaps a break from 12 to 1, and then travel to the next meeting at about maybe 2 o'clock. For the next meeting, and I know sometimes that can also be a stretch, but where possible, that also reduces the time so that we are not away from family for lengthy periods of time. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Njoba.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'd like to align myself with Honorable Van Skalkwyk, especially on the issue of not splitting. I think as public works, that one will help us. And the issue of saving marriage, Chairperson, saving marriage. Let's keep just 1 week so that I must sit with Mike, please.
It's very important. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, honorable members. One, honorable members, I think honorable Franz Kalvig explained the issue of the ad hoc committee, its composition as compared to the composition of our portfolio committee in terms of the number, in terms of the size. Even in terms of the staff that was supporting ad hoc committee. Honorable Trink was also part of that. He knows that we had so many committee secretaries, so many supports coming from departments. For example, for Public Works, Miss Inez was there. There was the committee secretary from Agriculture and Rural Development. Other than those that were tasked with the job of being the secretary of the ad hoc committee. So it's going to be a challenge if we say we split the group. What I would propose is that, in fact, what Honorable Franz Kalvig said, I think it is closer to what we may try, but the youngest one to wed is Honorable Nxumalo. Honorable Nxumalo had his wedding only last year and he invited us, but due to COVID-19 regulations, we could not honor. I think others, they've been married for a long time, but we support that Honorable Graham Mare must celebrate her birthday and the one of her husband in that weekend. But what we can do, honorable members, is to take 3 provinces, take a break in 1 weekend, take another 3 provinces, and then take a break, take another 2 provinces, then would finish the 9 provinces. But also, if Honorable Graham Murray is not going to attend in that particular hearing, you can then, because at least you are 2, but all other parties, they suppose alternate in the committee, someone who is not voting, but an alternate in the committee. So if Honorable Graham won't be part of that, she may then say, Honorable Hicklin, I'm not going to be part in this weekend. Can you then ensure that you attend? Just like my fellow members from my own party, if there's someone who's not going to attend, that person indicates and then others attend. Those that have alternates, they indicate early, I'm not going to attend, but the alternate. The alternate must be the someone who is known by the committee that this person is an alternate to this committee, as we all know that we have alternates. But for you to rest and meet the family, we're allowing that after 3 provinces, there must be a break, that we can't go. But also remember, you took an oath, honorable members. You allowed South Africans to vote for you to be their public rep. And then when a call is made of such an important bill, that we know that all South Africans are looking at this bill. The overwhelming response that was seen in the written submissions, it shows that South Africans, they really want to see this bill, they want to engage in this bill. We'll ensure that when we have finalized the dates, we will communicate with you so that you campaign in your constituencies, that people attend the hearing. So, Nola, it will be
Limpopo, Mpumalanga, and Northwest. Then we take a break. Gauteng, Free State, and KZN, we take a break. Eastern Cape, Northern Cape, and Western Cape, we take a break. So we must try get to fit and plan our family program according to that plan. But once we are through with the actual dates, Nola will bring it back and then we do that. Having been part of the public hearings again, honorable members, I've seen the way the security, the health officials that have to ensure them that we adhere to health protocols, the staff to ensure that the registration occurs, it's a lot of people. So the moment we have two groups, that means you are doubling that. So that means also doubling the budget. So I think we must take this one, we must be one group, but we must alternate, but we must also ensure that our families don't feel that we have rejected them. But I believe that Honorable Njobo, Honorable Shabalala, Honorable Matebula, and myself, I know those that they are not committed to any spouse, those fallen. Joking with, but I remember, so they can tell us that they are husbands and they are spouses. They must be like Honorable Numalo, and then that we can go even for a week.
But no, Chair, can't you, Honorable
Chair. Sir, we will all be divorced, and then we will have to go into one shelter together, Chair.
Yes. anything, Ms. Martinez, that you would like to add?
No, Chairperson, thank you very much. You've largely covered me. Before your ruling, Honorable Chair, I was ready to take you to a rule that takes us to a vote on this matter until I calculated that it's four against, it was about five against three members who didn't wanna go all together as a committee. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Members. Apparently, Honorable Graham, the weekend now is free. The weekend, we hoping that she will enjoy herself and her husband will also enjoy himself, and they will enjoy themselves together. Thank you, honorable members.
I think Chair, you must find a way to put your words, Chair.
Oh,
like. with reference to Honorable Graham, I think.
Apologies. And we know that on that particular weekend also it will be Honorable Hicklin's wife's birthday. So all the best in advance to the spouses of our honorable members in those celebrations. Honorable members, our next meeting now will be next Wednesday, and we'll also look at the dates in which we will invite people for oral presentation. If there are many that have requested, we will group them into two groups, maybe for 4 hours, take one group, and then for maybe next day, take another group. Will also ensure that there is time allocated to each group for presentation, and will ensure that everyone has the presentation that they will be doing. Thank you again, honorable members, for your progressive input that you always do in this committee. Let me remind you again, honorable members, the COVID is still out there. Let's take care. Let's stay safe, let's stay indoors,
wear the mask all the time. And let's join the department and all the people out there that are fighting gender-based violence and femicide in our country. It is a duty for all of us to ensure that this country is free from crime, that women and children of this country are not afraid to walk on the streets. They are not afraid to go to their homes because they are staying with the abuser. They are not afraid to go to their churches because the pastor or the reverend is the abuser. They are not afraid to go to work because the boss or the immediate supervisor is an abuser. It's a fight that we all have to join hands in winning to ensure that our kids, our grandkids, live in a free society. Thank you again, honorable members. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you,
everybody. Have a good week. Thank you for your input.
Bye.
See you in the plenary, honorable members.
100% chair.
Okay.